Masechta Shabbos, Parag Dalet, Mishnah Beis. The Mishnah continues discussing what could be used or can't be used for insulation. Taimnin Bishlachin, we could insulate around a pot with animal skins. These are unfinished, unprocessed animal skins that still have the hair on them that will keep the pot warm. Umetalzel my son, and you can also move them around on Shabbos. They're not muksa because these skins also serve a purpose to be used as rugs to sit on, and therefore they're not muksa. Begizet semer, you can insulate, and we're talking about here insulating before Shabbos. You can insulate with wool shearings, and we mentioned in the past Mishnah that they have to be dry; they can't be moist. However, over here, vein metalzel my son, you cannot move them around on Shabbos, they're muksa, because the wool shearings were generally made to be spun and then woven. And since they were designated for that purpose, they were muksa. The Rav points out, if he would designate it permanently to use as insulation, constantly reuse it as insulation, so then it would no longer be muksa, because it would serve a mutter purpose on Shabbos. So the Mishnah says, what should he do with this muksa insulation? Ketzad oisa, what should he do? How is he going to get his pot if it's surrounded in a muksa item? He should pick up the lid of the pot, and the wool shearings are going to fall off on their own. He's not actually manually taking off the muksa items, he's just shifting it off by taking the lid, and that's okay, and then he'll pick up the pot and take it out. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, kupa, if someone has a box, that inside this box is his pot, and it's surrounded by a muksa insulation. For example, the wool shearings that are surrounding his pot, and he's going to want to take the pot out, and possibly he's going to want to replace the pot back in on Shabbos to continue to stay warm. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says that he must mata al tzida, he has to tilt the box onto its side, v'naita, and then take the pot out, and this way the insulation will stay shifted onto one side, and it will leave a space for him to return the pot back in. And he won't have to manually touch any of the insulation when he puts the pot back in. And this is Shema Yitol of Eniachal Atzer. He needs to do this because if he leaves the pot straight, maybe if he leaves the box straight up, maybe when he takes the pot out, Eniachal Atzer, he's not going to be able to put it back in because the insulation will settle once the pot is removed and there won't be any spot anymore for the pot to go in. And he may come to manually move the insulation, which is muksam. Therefore, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says he must tilt the box on the side before removing the pot. The Chacham says, Naitom umachzer, he can take it out and put it back in. He doesn't have to be concerned about potentially moving this muksa. The Chacham were not worried that he would come to do that. He could take the pot out. If there's a space still amongst the wool shearings to put his pot back, then great, he'll put it back in. If not, then he won't be able to put it back because he's not going to be able to manually move the muksa insulation in the box. The Mishnah continues, until now we were discussing insulating from before Shabbos. Now we discuss on Shabbos. Like Yisrael Mabadyim, if someone did not cover with insulation his pot before Shabbos, Le'yichasadim Mishatechshach, he can't cover it over on Shabbos. It's Asar Midrabanan to use even the materials that don't add heat, that were allowed to be used before Shabbos, but he can't do that on Shabbos. Chazal were concerned that if he sees the pot's cold, he may come to reheat it on Shabbos. Kiso v'niskala, if he covered it before Shabbos and it got uncovered on Shabbos, mutar l'chasei, say then he's permitted to recover it again with some material that's not muksa and that does not add heat, just retains the heat. Mishnah says one more halacha. Memalas akitin, someone can fill a bottle with cold water, v'naisin tachasakar, a tachasakasas, and put it underneath a pillow or a cushion that he's going to sit or lie on, and it will cause some warmth to the bottle. Even though this is insulation being done on Shabbos, it's permitted because it's not normal to insulate a cold food like this, and therefore there was no iser derabanan placed in this case. That's leishchiach, that's not a normal case. Parakeh, Mishnah Aleph, besides for a person having to refrain from doing malacha, there's also something called Shvisas Behema, that is, animals also have to rest from doing malacha. And the Mishnah over here discusses what the animal is allowed to go out in Rosh Hashanah carrying and what he's not allowed to carry. There's a malacha of Haitzah, of carrying things from a private domain into a public domain, or vice versa, or going four amas within a public domain. And the animal also is restricted, a person's animals are restricted in this fashion, except for things that are needed for the animal. B'meh behema yetza, with what can an animal go outside on Shabbos? U'b'meh eina yetza, and what is he not allowed to go outside with on Shabbos? Yetza agamol, the afsar, a camel is allowed to go out with a leash, a reins that are tied around its mouth. This is to help control and guide the animal. V'naka, and a white female camel, which is a little more difficult to control, can go out bechatam with a nose ring. It was a metal ring that ran through their nose to control the animal with a string tied to it. Velubdikis, this is a chamer from Lud, a donkey that came from the place called Lud. This type of donkey was aggressive, and in order to control it, they needed a primbaya, a bridle that had a bit in the animal's mouth. So this animal, the Lubdikis, was able to go out with the primbaya, with the bridle that had a bit in the animal's mouth. Vesus, and a horse can go basher with its collar. V'chol bale asher yetzim basher, and all other animals that generally wear a collar could also go out with a collar, such as dogs that wear collars. They were allowed to be worn. V'nimshachem basher, and they can be pulled along with a rope by their collar. They can be walked along with a leash. The Mishnah now, once we mentioned these collars, it goes off on a tangent and says another halacha about these collars. Umazan aleim, we can sprinkle on these collars, v'tayvelin, and we can dip them in the mikvah, b'mkayman, even while they're in their place. The Mishnah over here is teaching that these things are considered kalim, or vessels, that the animal is wearing, and if they become tame from contact to a dead body, then they get tumas mace, they're going to require a tara process, and they need sprinkling from the paraduma ashes water, and that's the mazen, they can be sprinkled, and they also need a tefillah and a mikvah. And the Mishnah is teaching, first of all, that even though there are vessels that are for an animal, which generally don't become tame, but here they're being used for the person to control the animal, so they do become tame, and not only that, they don't need to be removed from the animal, but the tire process can be done while the animal is still wearing it. You can sprinkle on them and table them in a mikvah while the animal is still wearing the collar.